you get to know Him, when you really get to know Him, you realize He is truly your way maker. You know He keeps all His promises. We just got to stay with Him. We've just got to be consistent. Continuing to praise Him, continuing to ask Him, continuing to expect Him to be our way maker. Amen. Thankfully, I was raised in the church and I got to see a lot of great miracles. And one of the greatest things that I've ever witnessed in the church was God's keeping power, where He took hold of people and families and kept them. That to me goes above so many other things, because that means you're still here. I've seen somebody be blessed and healed and never saw them again. But when God can keep you, when He can make a way every day, we can make it worth coming back again, staying close to Him. Amen. What a mighty God that we serve today. What a mighty God. Amen. Great weekend. Awesome amount of work that was done here yesterday. And I'm sure Brother Keith will say a little more about that in the end as he dismisses later. But it was just a great day, and also always a good time of fellowship. I want to go right into the Word of the Lord. Redeemed this time. And the clock up there is on the old time, so I've got a lot longer than I thought I had. So it's only 11:37. And what a blessing it is, because I have a long sermon, and I look up there and thought, thank the Lord. Got all that extra time. You was wondering, what do we do with that time? Well, here we go. We're going to fit it in. No, don't be afraid. Y'all come back. No, I won't take long. I promise you this. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 and 12. Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That is our adversary. That is our battleground. It's not flesh and blood, but it's spiritual things. And if we can understand that, we've won half the battle. Because if you find yourself being entangled with flesh and blood, that's not the target. That's not the target. That's just there to distract you, to discourage you, to create division. Because what we're wrestling against is something spiritual. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that You would touch our minds and our hearts today. Lord, our ability to think, perceive, and to feel, that we can take this Word and put it in the right place. Lord, that You would have Your way today. God, let Your Word live in us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A little bit strange, perhaps, of a title, but it is, If I Were the Devil. I just said, if I was. I didn't say, I'm not admitting anything. I'm just saying, if I were the devil. There may be times that in some parts of my life, somebody might have thought, you know, there you go, but I'm not owning up to any of that. First and foremost, I want to tell you that there is a devil. And secondly, I'm not here to glorify him at all. Because we know the one that's greater. We know the way maker. Amen. But I tell you that he is constantly working against anything the church tries to do. And a little hint here, if you haven't come into contact with his forces and everything seems really great in your life to this point, there's a chance that you might be going in the same direction. You don't have any conflict, then, you know, no trouble. But if you're going with the current and it's the wrong current, well, that you're not going to feel any opposition to it. But whenever you're opposed to that current, then you're going to meet up with opposition. I'll just let you know that right now. But anything that you do towards the kingdom of God, there's going to be a fight. But thankfully, the battle's already been won. Amen. We've got all the forces we need. We've got the power we need. But I would tell you that the devil would have you to believe that it is circumstances and perhaps even your own devices that are at war against you. He would tell you that you were born in the wrong time or to the wrong family. I don't mean to cause any trouble there, but the enemy would like to have you know that. But I want you to know that he is alive and working against us today. You will have conflict. And then there's another part to this, and that is we all were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So we have a nature that Adam and Eve were infected by. We've got that nature. So there is that inside man that the enemy has. And when he can get that nature of ours, that soul nature, to kind of engage with his devices, then we, of course, definitely have trouble. My second oldest brother, Jerry, he used to keep spiders. And my mother wasn't as excited about it as I was. I thought it was cool. He kept them in a jar, holes poked in the top. And he would put any kind of spider he could find. But those fuzzy black ones that everybody think are black widows, they're not. But everybody calls them black widows. And he'd put those in a jar and put two of them in there. And he'd say, watch this. And he would shake that jar up, get them agitated, and they find each other. And they take those front, whatever it is, and they raise them up like this, like kung fu artists. And they just start facing off. And then they just tie in. He said, wait, one of them's going to come out alive and one's not. It was our own little war movie in a jar. In a jar. And the jars were many. And they're all put in a suitcase under his bed. And my mother, when she would be vacuuming or sweeping, she'd see that suitcase. And then there would be some conflicts and some discussions that went on about the spiders that were in the jar. But I couldn't wait for him to get those jars out and shake it. Well, you know the devil does that too. He can get two people in a situation, he'll shake it up real good and get them turning against each other. They'll turn against each other. But you got to realize where it's all coming from, where the confusion is at. Because God's not the author of it. He's not the author of confusion, and the devil has definitely wrote many various manuals about confusion. He causes it. He's the father of confusion and lies. You remember in school when you had to go to lunch? You know, unless your lunch was great and you got to go to lunch. Many times in school we had to go. And you'd be in there looking, trying to find out what they're serving today, see if there was anything edible. And sometimes it was very good. And somebody in the line would shove you into somebody else in the line. You thought it was the guy behind you, but it was the guy behind him that reached around and just created something. You turn around and give them a good elbowing in the side of the shoulder, then they start fighting you, and the guy that started it just standing back there enjoying the show, like shaking the spider jar. The devil does that too. Oh, he'll reach around, he'll mess with your head, he'll mess with your life, and cause you to blame somebody else. And he loves it when you blame somebody else in the church. If I was the devil, I'd do that too, but I'm not the devil, so I don't like him doing that. But I want to tell you something, that he is your adversary. You need to get this. He's not just an adversary. He's not just adversarial simply by nature. But you've got to understand, he is your adversary. Right. Amen. That's what you're against right now, is you are against the demons of hell. That is your adversary. Amen. Right. I'm not here to glorify him. I'm here just to let you know that's what he's about. Because once we think he's out there resting and he's somewhere on the other side of the world in Iraq or Iran, or that's where he's at, well, that's spiritual wickedness in high places for sure, because it's governments that are ruled by him. But he doesn't mind walking around in your world and trying to create havoc and cause you to get angry at a brother or a sister. Right. Oh yeah, he'll do that. 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that letter's to the church, y'all. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's not looking around just to try to mess with you, just to shake your life a little bit. He wants to end it with you. He wants to cause you to walk out of the church. He wants you to blame somebody in the church. He wants to turn you against your brother or against your sister. He's trying to make you into nothing in the kingdom of God, to bring you down to where you give up and walk out of there. He's your adversary. But verse 9, and in my Bible, it's highlighted in yellow. It says, resist him. There's the answer right now. You may be dismissed. Let's go home. That's the answer. Resist him. Resist him. How many of you, when a salesperson comes to the door and they've got a bag, a big briefcase that you know they've got product in there, and they still do that, by the way, and they've got a clipboard and all kind of cards to fill out and brochures. When you open the door, do you just open and say, please come in? I've got my family here, but we're all going to sit back and we're going to let you come in and talk to us about whatever it is, because we would like you to come in our home. Entertain us with your testimonials of this product that you have. Anybody do that? No. No. We've got those peepholes, and that's what those are for. Look out of there. Just back away, everybody. Go back in the back of the house. They're very smart sometimes. They'll hide all that paraphernalia. And they just look like the next door neighbor. You open the door and then all this stuff comes out from behind them. Sir, did you know your house could fall apart any minute because of termites? And no, it's already had treatment. Well, that treatment only lasts for about 8 minutes. This here is what you need. And before you know it, they've got your attention. And I'm not trying to listen to their spiel. I'm trying to find everything they're saying just to say, nope, I've got that. I've got nope. And unless they find something that I really, really need, then I'm not going to let them in my house, because I've already got everything. And I'm not against salespersons. I'm not against people that sell. But I want to tell you that my sermon's not about that. It's about your adversary, the devil. He will find a way in. Because, see, he's not trying to sell. He's a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I'm come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. So you're thinking abundant life, steal, kill, and destroy. Abundant life and steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy comes to try to take us out of commission and cause us to totally give up on serving God. That's what his end result is going to be. He wants to kill your soul, not your body. He would like you to stay alive long enough to blame others in the church so that it can continue to grow like a cancer. When you think about what he's all up to, it really ought to make you angry. So angry that you give God another hour of prayer just to try to pray some of those back in the church that he's come and snatched up and walked out of here with. Amen. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. This is not an American situation. This is a church situation. Closer somebody gets to truth, the bigger the battle's going to be. The more fierce the fighting, because let me tell you, the devil knows truth. Amen. He understands that there's power in the name of Jesus. He understands that there's power in that name above every name. And that's why we make such a deal about the name, because in that name there is freedom, and in that name there is deliverance, and in that name there is power. And the enemy knows that there's power in that name. You throw the name away, you won't have to deal with the devil anymore, but he's after your name. He wants to take the power and the resurrecting power force of that name away from you. And then what do you got? Oh my. The word adversary is a Greek word, antidikos or antidikos. It means your opponent in a lawsuit, a person who represents or presents forensic evidence against you. He comes to the court and says, I've got something they did that you may not know. And we've got proof that they're guilty. Well, I'd like to tell the enemy, there's no argument against my guilt. But I just got to show you that the mercy of God is greater than my guilt. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm saying the blood of Jesus covers me. Amen. He said, I'm all right. I ask forgiveness, and he has forgiven me. So whatever evidence he's got, I'm sorry, devil, but the blood is stronger than the greatest sin that I could ever commit. Amen. We need to be reminded of the power of the blood of Jesus. You take the blood, and you take the name. You've got everything you need. Thank God for the name. Hallelujah. So the father of lies compiles evidence against you. And yes, it's false evidence, but it gets you into his court. That's all he wants, just to try to sidetrack you. And the thing is, the evidence must be delivered by a person or by your own mind. The evidence has to be delivered to you. The thing is, either way, it works for him. He'll work on your conscience. He'll work on your mind. Whatever it takes, just to get you thinking, am I really that bad? Maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it did happen. Maybe I didn't feel anything. Maybe that was all emotion. Some of you have fought that battle recently. Yeah, you're standing up there with them and worshiping with them, but you know you don't have anything. You're just like you were. You're a fake, a fraud. First, let me explain something. There is not a scripture in the Bible that talks about what you have to feel when you worship God. Emotions are not going to be in there because they're fickle. They go here and there. If you worked hard yesterday, some of you are probably too tired to worship a whole lot today. That happens on Sunday when we have a work day Saturday. I'm with you on that. Man, I don't feel up to my best right now. We were busy. It was a good day. Now, seeing how everybody's worshiping here today, I'd say everybody probably pretty good. Going to go to bed early tonight, maybe. But see, all the devil wants to do is convince you. To make you look at the evidence and start doubting your experience. That's all he's trying to do. See, the lion roars, you know, walks about as a roaring lion. The lion roars when he's hungry. And he roars to intimidate, and he roars to cause fear. But the Bible says resist him. Wouldn't that be great if it worked for lions? What if suddenly lions could understand, and they could understand that they were created by God, and that God called all the lions together and said, now up to this point, you all are pretty much the king of the jungle. Not a lot of fear. You're not afraid of anything. You sleep a long time, but when you're awake, you're very much awake. But I'm reprogramming all you lions, and now you're going to start being afraid of certain kinds of things. You're going to be afraid of field mice. If you ever see a little mouse, you're going to turn and run because I'm going to cause you to be afraid of that thing. You know, the lions would revolt. If word gets out that we're afraid of field mice, what's the other kingdom going to do? But see, God's not going to reprogram the lion because they're not afraid of anything. Against any odds, they'll attack and they'll run until they catch their prey. And they may travel sometimes in packs, and they'll get what they want because they are the king of the jungle. But your enemy, he's been programmed. He has limits, y'all. The devil has limits. He doesn't have free reign. He can't walk into your world and make you do anything. It says he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. As a roaring lion means he's not a roaring lion. Seeking whom he may devour means he's not going to devour anybody, but he's seeking and he's creating a lot of noise and a lot of confusion. But understand, if you turn to that devil and say, lion, get behind me, he's got to get behind you because it's written in the Word of God. When you use the Word, you've turned him around. He has nothing he can do against you. You've got the Word on your side. He's programmed. He's limited. He has no power over you at all. Remember this. The next time you find yourself being pushed around by something in your past that has come up and hindered you, you need to realize who the author of that is. And just say, get behind me, devil. I'm not buying any today. We're not going to let the family see you on my sofa telling me what I'm going to do. You got to get out of my life, get out of my house. This is God's place. Amen. Oh, you've got power against him through the holy name of Jesus Christ. Luke 8 and 11. Jesus said, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Think about what he said he did. He takes the word. I'm glad I got the word today. But I got to keep it coming. Because he can take the word out of my heart. Now listen, I said earlier, he has an inside man. How many times have you heard somebody escape prison? They said, well, it was an inside job. A bank is robbed. It's an inside job. Somewhere, if you got somebody, if you're in jail, but you got somebody that's in authority outside the cell, or if you're outside the bank and you got somebody inside. My wife was a teller for many years in Fort Lauderdale, and whenever you're a teller, you have to come up even with your cash drawer. It all has to add up. And she said over and over again, there's one girl whose cash would never add up. And they kept trying. And sometimes it was my wife's. She said, I would sit there and go over and over, and I'd be short. And short is bad. That means you owe the bank money. Now, they don't come take it right away, but they keep looking, and they're going to try to make it all balance out. And she said it was just amazing. It kept coming up short, kept coming up short. But what was happening is one of the girls had a husband who would come in the drive-thru, and she would take from her co-workers and put the cash in an envelope and send it to him, and no one knew. They didn't know. And just a little bit at a time, $20 here, $60 here, just a few 20s, you know, and this one's having trouble. And she would make it different ones. And so the shorting was going across the team. And after a while, the bank started questioning, wondering what was going on. An ex-worker, somebody that had already went on to another job, said, I'm going to come in, I'm going to help y'all figure all this out. And she started looking at all the evidence and looking at the shortages. And then she come up with this idea, somebody else inside is doing this. Somebody's doing this. And they finally caught who it was. FBI was in on it. When the FBI starts moving around, people start getting real nervous. And suddenly the answer came. Inside job. The devil's got an inside job. David said, behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Adam sinned. And when he did, he lost the connection with God. It's God's plan that we make our way back. But when you've been baptized and filled with God's Spirit, you're not an angel. Anybody realize that pretty quick after you receive the Holy Ghost? You're like, I thought my battles were over with. Did I really just say that? Did I think those thoughts? Did I imagine that stuff? I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm not. What's wrong with me? Your soul. Your spirit's revived, but your soul. That part of you that desires. Guess what? It's still intact. And as long as we feed the soul and starve the spirit, we're going to be as earthly as we can be. And we're going to start going concurrent with the enemy. He's okay with that. But each day, we have to die out to the flesh. I know this is Sunday school stuff, but just a reminder. See, the enemy of your soul knows that what gets your attention gets you. And he'll throw some things. He'll throw some fiery darts. He'll throw some fiery darts. And one of these times, that shield of faith may be out of commission. The faith may be down. You may be worn out. It may be low. There may be some injury that you've sustained, something against your nature. And suddenly you realize, I'm hurting. I'm weak. I don't know what's going on, but I don't want to go to church today. I don't even want to be around those people. If you'll look closely, you'll realize that somewhere a fiery dart, a thought, a whisper, a word came into your heart. And you're toiling over what was this that happened, and you suddenly, an offense begins to occur, and you begin to think thoughts against somebody, and that's the enemy. See, that's the enemy. Fiery darts. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. He takes that reasoning that you received, that lesson you just heard, that sermon that you downloaded, he takes that out of your heart and replaces it with an idea, with a thought, with an emotion against something, and suddenly you don't have that power anymore. You're walking just around like the dead man you were before, and that's his device to get you on the ropes, take away the hope that you had. We all know this for sure. The devil's aiming at the word of God. That's what he's after. If he can keep you out of church for a while, you're not going to keep getting lifted back up again. As a pastor, listen, y'all, I would rather you go out and stumble and come back in and do that for about 52 weeks rather than you go out and think it's not worth it and never come back. I would rather you be on life support because at least you got a little bit of life and it's supporting you. I'd rather you be in the ER mode. At least you're in the mode. At least you're in the place where the Word of God can touch you. That's not a life. That's not the way to live. You're one breath away from losing your soul. But I'd rather somebody come in here and repent every Sunday than to lose them and never see them again. Get to the place where life is at. Get where the Word of God is preached. Come where Jesus Christ can forgive you again and again and again, but don't let the devil take you out of here. Oh, don't let him take you out of here. Whatever it takes, your enemy's going to do it to remove you from the Word or remove the Word from you. Whatever he's got to do, separate you from the Word, because the Word is your power. The Word is your authority. That's what gives you your hope. That's what picks you back up. Oh, God, help us in Jesus' name. Let's raise our hands and praise him right now. God wants to touch somebody. Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your Spirit descend in this house, God. Somebody's in the strait right now, Lord. They need to make the right choice. Jesus' name. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Oh, God in your name, God in your name. John 13:2, supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. He already had put it into his heart, and we thought many times, how in the world could a man that sat at Jesus' feet follow him around and see multitude of miracles, people raised from the dead? How in the world? See, the enemy was walking about looking for an opportunity. Like a thief in a neighborhood, they circle a while and they'll see if there's somebody that's not there, see if there's an empty house, see if there's a car that's out of the driveway, see, look for signs. And if they find a house and they realize, well, that car's gone all day long, I'm going to park down the street, walk down the sidewalk, maybe have a dog, and then I'm going to look at that house, I'm going to walk around it and just kind of casually look at the windows, lift the door. Sometimes they'll leave something unlocked and they'll case the house and see if there's an easy entry point somewhere. They don't just suddenly wake up one day and just go to a neighborhood, go in a house and knock on the door and, you know, take a hammer and knock the door open. No, that's not how they do it. Not smart ones anyway. No, they're not all real smart. They can't be. But, you know, normally a thief is going to case it out. And the devil does the same thing. And he did it to Judas. All he had to do was look at that money bag. All he had to do was realize that Judas was all about the money.
Yeah.
All about stealing the money that was in there and keeping it for himself. That's all the devil realized. And there was his open door. Be careful about the things that you think are okay, but you're trying to deal with them and trying to overcome them. Watch out, because that's the area where he's going to come. Watch out if you've got an injury, if you've been injured. I'm not talking about your elbow or your arm. I'm talking about your spirit has been injured. Be careful. That's the place where he's going to come in right there. You need to stand guard and say, God, I pray you guard my mind and guard my heart. Heal my hurt, God. Heal my hurt. I don't want him coming in and leaving and taking me with him, God. Heal my hurt. Let's be smart about this. Amen. We know Judas was the thief, and he seemed very dull to the influence of being with Jesus. You know, he got upset with the ointment that Mary poured on him and said, you know, this could have been sold. Yeah, he didn't have his priorities right, but that left him open to demonic influence. Not everything the devil puts into a person's heart, you got to act on it. Have you ever been just minding your own business and suddenly a thought popped into your head and you thought, I'm glad somebody ain't reading my mind right now. Where did that come from? Two sources, you or him. Amen. There's a lot of us in there too. There's a lot of flesh in our body, amen. We can think of evil things all on our own, but don't think the devil's not got those darts. throwing at us, just trying to defeat us, trying to get us to lay down, put our weapons down. But listen to what Jesus did. He defeated the devil with the Word. With the Word. Just get behind me, Satan. The Word of God works still. It encourages our faith. It increases our faith. Nothing like the Word of God. Written, listened to, preaching. We need the Word of God. God, give us your Word. If you don't love the Word, if you do not love the Word, if you do not love preaching, you need to fall in love with it really quickly. It will save you and it will keep you saved. It will keep you saved. I listen to preaching. Why? So that I can barely make it to church? No, I just love preaching. First thing I remember hearing as a kid was laying on a pew or under the pew, hearing preaching. Woke up from my long nap, preacher still preaching. Yeah, that's how it was. Not carpeted floors either. A lot of times it's just hard linoleum floor. Look up, wonder, is church still going on? Oh, look, some new gum under the bottom of the pew. That was my life. I won't go into the gross details about the gum, y'all. Another time. But even to this day, I love preaching. That may be what has preserved me is I love the Word of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians says 4:26-7, be angry and sin not. No, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Don't create an easy opportunity for the enemy to just come right down into your living room and sit down. So don't let anger stay in your head too long. Don't get bitter over anything. Get God involved in your conflicts really quickly. And love, love, love. Keep loving your brothers and your sisters. Keep loving your husbands. Keep loving your kids. Keep loving your wife. Keep him away because he doesn't like those nice things. Don't give place to the devil. Really what that's saying is don't make it easy for him. Don't open your curtains and let there be a gun cabinet right there across your living room where anybody driving by can see a gun cabinet with the door slightly open. Don't do that. Don't leave the door ajar and then go to work with no cars in the driveway and think you're going to come home and still have a gun. No, you're there, somebody's going to walk in. Somebody that's not even a thief's going to go in there and say, this is too easy. I can't pass this up. Don't make it easy on the devil. Don't talk about somebody to somebody else. That's leaving the gun cabinet open with the curtains wide open and the door ajar. When you talk to a brother about a brother, you're just saying, come on, devil, come in and rob me blind. Steal my victory, amen. And let's cause a big wedge to go into the middle of the church. Oh, don't make it easy. Don't give place. Don't give him a place to sit. Don't scoot over for the devil. I could go on and on with that, y'all know, because it's just there's all kind of things that fall, but I'm not going to because I've got to go to the airport and pick up my wife in a little bit. So, short sermon. We passed that a few minutes ago. I know that's what you're thinking. You know, people get emotional about good things, but also people get emotional sometimes, and I'm not here to pick on any of you. Y'all realize when I'm up here, I'm not thinking about y'all. I'm delivering this message here. But you can upset some people by talking about things that are dear to their heart. You can. You need to know who labors among you and what their hot buttons are and which way they lean. You know, it's March Madness. People get mad in March. Here's what I know about it. Number one seed was upset by number 16 seed. Never happened before. I don't know who either of them are, but I know number 16 is happy for now. Yeah. What am I talking about? College basketball playoffs. That's what makes March so mad, or something like that. It's usually about two-thirds of the way over, and all of a sudden I wake up and go, oh, it's that going on. Okay, well, there's the final 8-4, whatever it is. But people get emotional about good things and things that make no sense. One man told Jesus, not that March Madness makes no sense, it's full of sense. One man told Jesus, he said, I'll follow you, Lord, but I need to get, well, I, I got to go bury my father. Yeah. Now, let me tell you, there's nothing more noble than taking care of your parents. There's nothing more noble than that. But he said, I just need to go bury my father. That just, what it was he's not at the grave yet, or he's not in the funeral home, but he's sick. And let me go and take care of it. And the Lord knew. Trust me, God understands. He sees right through us. And Jesus says, you need to let the dead bury the dead. And you need to drop everything you got and just come follow me. Let dead things take care of dead things. Now, here's a nice way of putting it. There'll be a time for you to do that. He's still here. But you need to understand, I'm talking to you about life. And you need to choose life over death. Because that part of us is not life. That's dead. That's flesh. But he's trying to offer him an opportunity of everlasting, everlasting life. We get emotional over cats and dogs, the flag, amen, anything else that sways our feelings. But this is all I'm going to say about that. Keep it in the right order. Yeah. All right. Keep it in the right. Don't leave the door open to be offended. That's good. Don't leave the door open to get offended politically or in sports. Man, that's good. Yeah. Amen, Pastor. I used to play ball by myself until somebody got out of school or, you know, at a certain time. And I had a big old softball bat. I didn't know what it was. I just asked Mom, could I buy that bat? I'd take that ball and I'd hit it like that and knock it out into the neighbor's yard and go over to that yard and knock it back. And this wasn't like every day. This is I just remember a time of having to get out there by myself and play ball. I must have, Mom felt sorry for me. You know, poor kid out there. So Dad come home from work and we threw the ball around and, you know, hit it with the bat. It's all good. But understand that we don't need somebody to offend us for us to get offended. We don't need that. It will happen all by itself. We got to keep things in the right order and don't set ourselves up for a failure, because he's walking around, roaring lion, looking. Where can I put a wedge in that marriage? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Hold on. We got to go. It's coming. Don't make it easy. Don't make it easy. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This puts us in the offensive, not defensive. People who are just defensive Christians, they're curled up into a ball. And just saying, I'll just pray it all in someday soon so I can go to heaven. No, you can't survive that way. Junior high school, we played a bombardment, my favorite game. Take them big rubber yet red balls and just sling them and hit somebody upside the head. Some high school across town, a kid broke his arm. It wasn't our school. It was across town. And the whole school board said, no more bombardment. You have to turn around and bend over and throw it between your legs. And boom, 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 boom. It was horrible after that. And I just want you to know I got a little bitter. Because I love that game. But there's this kid in our school named Billy Fenton. And he wasn't athletic. Not everybody is. And I was medium. Trust me, I wasn't a home run hitter type dude. But Billy would go over, and him and there's another guy named Brad Galbraith, and they both were on the same team, or usually, or one or the other, because they were, you know, they didn't get picked. And so they would go and hide behind the bleachers. Now, the bleachers would be shoved up against the wall, and so there they are, all, you know how those that retract. But you go around to the edge, and they would hide. And we would get through, and we were like, oh, we won, we got them all out. Brad would walk out like not in shining armor. I'm not kidding you, starched and pressed gym clothes. And there's these guys with them red missiles in their hands. And then they'd let loose. Didn't hurt anybody. But they would all be, both of them boys would be tucked, you know, in their respective hiding places. and then make the appearance and say, oh, it's not over yet. And then, you know, I don't want to go into all that. But you know what? That's not where we have to be. We're not hiding from anybody. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. See, the devil comes after you, and yet we can pull down strongholds. Something he has planned and implemented over years, but through prayer and through faith, you can pull down strongholds. It's not talking about you can shove him out of the way on a good day, but it means we, the church, pull down strongholds. We can go against things that are coming against the church because we've got power. And God has given that to us. I'm thankful. Can you say praise the Lord? We must be active in challenging the voice of defeat. We must not let negative thoughts permeate our minds. And I'm coming to a close. Therefore, James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Now tell me something. Have you thought about resisting him? It works because it's in the Word. That's it. God put it real easy. Resist him, he'll flee. God made it so easy. Consider his suggestions. You know what? And we will offer more proof to draw you away. If you consider his suggestions, if you just say, well, devil, what do you got? What are you selling? Oh, if he sees you're listening, he'll pull you in. And again, offense is the main tool. It truly, like the book says, it is the bait of Satan to get you offended at a brother or a sister, even a pastor. That is his bait. Because you feel like you are valid. You have a valid reason now to be against instead of for. The reason unsubmitted people fail is because they're camping out in the devil's front yard. They don't know it, but they've crossed the street and they're right there where he is, and they're listening to the wrong voices. They're listening to the wrong reasoning. Revelation 20:10. The devil who deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So, in closing, I will tell you, if I were the devil, I would do everything possible to keep you from praying. That's the number one thing I would do. I'd keep you out of this place. And I would give you enough stuff to worry about and entangle yourself in that you never made it to that prayer time. Yeah. You can plan it all you want, but I would do everything I could to keep you from praying because the devil knows that praying is powerful. Here's something else about prayer. You might know nothing about the church. You may have very limited knowledge of what it's all about. But if you ever understand the power of prayer, prayer will lead you and it will guide you to the right answers, to the right church, to the right victory. And you will slowly begin to claw your way into the kingdom of God because you have a passion for prayer. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us be a praying church. With prayer, anything is possible. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God, for Tuesday night prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for Tuesday night prayers. I always think of Brother and Sister Hernandez whenever I talk about that summer of July and that I got in front of the prayer group that was about 9 people I counted. And their family was part of the 9. And that was a pretty normal crowd, especially in the summer. And I said, I feel like the Lord has spoken to me to tell y'all, and I want somebody to hear me say it, that there's going to be an influx of people in our church. And within the next 10 days, I had 5 people come and tell me they were leaving, 5 families. You know, different things. No one of them was angry, and I love that part. Silver lining. You got to look for the silver lining. And it was all, you know, we're moving here, moving there. And some that said didn't, but some that didn't say did. And so by the end of the year, I think 27, 24, I don't remember. That's a pretty good chunk when we were as small as we were. Yeah. And all I could think of was, I stood up in front of the prayer group. Thank goodness it wasn't a large crowd. Silver lining. Yeah. Small prayer groups when you're going to say something dumb. But I felt it so strong. That is why each prayer meeting, Brother Cron will usually tell me how many was there. And every prayer lately, it's over 40, 45 people at prayer meeting. I say, Lord, there's been an influx of people since that day. Amen. Thank God for it. The church grows, the prayer meetings grow. The prayer meetings grow, the church is going to keep growing. Trust me. The church will keep, because prayer is powerful. I got to go. I mean, not leave, but I'd do that, but I got to do this. I'm just... But if I was the devil, I would keep you in the Word far apart. I would first try to get you to miss midweek service. All right. See, that I'd work on midweek. Why is midweek service so important? Because you're only one more miss away from missing Sunday.
Yes.
You need midweek service. If you've been at our midweeks lately, you know it's a really good place to be. You need midweek service. Everybody needs to be here on Wednesday. We got something for you. Be here. So... if you start missing Wednesday and you say, well, at least I can be there on Sunday. You come Sunday with that least mindset. At least I'm here. Yeah. Could be worse. I'm waiting for people to start saying, I wasn't there, but I saw it online. I'm glad we're online. But oh my, we got to get together, don't we?
Yeah.
We got to be in this place.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to some other things. If I was the devil, I would just try to offend you, because that would take you down. If I was the devil, I'd try to make you feel like you were missing out, and this would cause you to wander off. And, you know, the devil loves Facebook and Instagram, by the way. Oh, you ever went there and you were angrier when you started reading than you were when you, yeah, and you thought, why in the world did I even get on there? Mm-hmm. I could get a ton of amens right now, but everybody's going... Who told him that? I would tempt you to find fault with leadership. That's never happened here, but it could. I would cause you to be too strapped to pay tithes. And then I would help you find a way to justify it so you could feel all right. I can't believe they wrote that here. I'm just reading this list. I would make you feel like you're destined to fail. We need a real happy song, praise people. I would hook you up to be friends with somebody unbeknownst to you that are weaker than you and are going to pull you down. They don't have a testimony, but they have a prayer request they want to share with you about somebody we need to pray for, and let me tell you why. You're going to love this one. You know, guess who we need to pray for right now? A prayer request. It's gossip veiled in concern. I'm really worried about somebody. No, you're not worried. You're feeling good because you're not that bad. It lifts you up when you see somebody falling down. You're like, I'm not the worst one. Funny, but the devil does it. He does it. I would cause you to find fault. No. I'm going to skip that one. It was about finding fault with the pastor and his wife, but I'm not even going to read it. I would convince you that your little secret sin needs to remain secret, because it's never going to be a problem, because you are different and you can handle this. You can handle this. So don't tell anybody about it. It'll just get blown out of proportion. You've got it under control. You've got it under control. Yeah. Don't worry about it. No. You better get some help now. That's the enemy. I would try to help you to feel justified or good about living one life at home and another life at church. In other words, a double life. You don't worry about when you get home and what comes out of your mouth and the family or whatever. It goes, oh my goodness, there he goes again, or she goes again. And I would make you feel good about having two different lives if I was the devil. Why? Because you come wounded, and it's easy to discredit yourself and think you're not worthy of what they're talking about because you've got this other issue going home. I would make you feel just a little bit different. Musicians, y'all can come now. A little bit like you're just a little different than others. Different in a way that makes you feel justified in your secret. Lord, you know how I was raised. Lord, you know that I've dealt with things. You know, God, I don't trust anybody else. I can't talk. You know, God, that, you know, it's just in my family, my father or mother was this way. So you know, God, I'm just this way. Oh, if I was the devil, I would sprinkle a lot of that around. As long as nobody knows, I've got this. And, you know, it started out small, but I've got it under control. But I want to tell you, church, I'm not the devil, but I'm a pastor, and I know a little bit about how he works. But greater is he that's in you. You know who it's talking about. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater. Here's the thing. Yeah, the devil has an inside job. Yeah, we have that nature we got from Adam when he failed. But you take me and my old nature, and you take the devil who plays on that old nature of mine, but then you add repentance on my part, forgiveness on God's part, baptism because of the name above every name, infilling of the Holy Ghost, and there's the power. He has no power anymore because now I've got the Almighty God dwelling within me. Can you stand and give God a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. Oh, I've got God in my life now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for your part. Lord, for your power, for your mercy, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. They're doing work. Neighborhood just to the west of us. And we are about a street away, and our house doesn't face that direction. The backyard faces north. But when I'm leaving, I can hear the noise of those heavy machines grading that property. They've taken the trees totally out, mulched them, and hauled the mulch away. And I can hear them in there grading and packing down, getting ready for roads, getting ready for a neighborhood. You drive by, you can tell something's going on. There's some work. There's some work being done. It'll be a while before it's completed, but there's work being done. When God is working in your life, there's telltale signs that he's working. Because there's some flesh that understands it needs to die. When the enemy is working in your life, there's some telltale signs that he's working. Because it's causing a little bit of your spirit to die. One is against our spirit, the other is against our flesh. See, we're here today in the flesh, but worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So we've doubly got this thing handled. What I would like us to do today, I read a list of about 15 things that I'd do if I was the devil. He could laugh right now because he knows there's more than that. I just covered some of the basics. And you may could even come up with a few and say, yep, Pastor, I've battled it. We all have. We wrestle, but just not against flesh and blood, but against spirits. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. But I believe today would be an awesome time to come down and draw that line in the sand. If we're not honest with ourselves today, when are we going to make it right and equitable? We got to be honest and say, Lord, this is my weakness. You know my heart, God. Search me and know me. Look, Lord, and see if there's any wicked way in me. That's being honest before God, because when I leave, I want to leave knowing that I've sealed up all the exits and entrances, and the enemy can't come near me anymore. That's what I want to be sure of. And a few of these things, humorous as it may have been, Perhaps it hit home in some measure. I pray it did. But let us gather to the front, church. We have a great crowd here. And we'll be dismissed in just a little while. But I would like you to come up here.